is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
And our speaker tonight is Carla Sue Howitz. She's going to start off and be our first speaker. She grew the giant pumpkins, and that is the topic, how to grow giant pumpkins.
Well, thank you. I just want you to know that I'm not a real expert yet. I'm only on my third year, but I know a whole lot more than I did the first year. And as I go through the basics, I'll kind of walk you through what happened with me from year one to this is year three. And I have a little outline. When you grow giant pumpkins, you need to pick a location that has full sun and for about 8 to 12 hours, at least 8 to 12 hours of full sun. And with giant pumpkins, you should have anywhere from 700 square feet to 1,000 square feet per plant.
Why?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, that was one of my biggest mistakes the first year, and it was because of you that I even got into this and the emails that got sent to Bill. And I don't usually open up the emails, but I saw giant pumpkins on the subject line or whatever. And I opened it up and it said you had seeds for sale. So I told Bill I wanted to grow giant pumpkins. He says, I don't want to grow giant pumpkins. But he says, I'll buy them and you can grow them. And so that's what happened. But he definitely helped along the way. I should have planted them a lot earlier, but we went on vacation and then got back and planted them in peat pots. And then it wasn't until, I think it was at the end of June, that first year that I planted them, and it was really late. But they did grow, and I named Baby Huey. That's Baby Huey really started it, and then there was the Major and the General. And so I planted all three, and believe it or not, even with everything I did wrong, they did grow, and Baby Huey got to be 167.9 pounds. And I took it to the farms of Tuolumne County, zucchini and pumpkin way off, and I got second place. Well, that really got me into the pumpkins because I don't like to be second. So I started investigating a whole lot about pumpkins, and if you go online and you join bigpumpkins.com, you can learn a whole lot about pumpkins. So the second year, because our patch was only like 350 square feet to maybe wasn't about maybe 400, I decided we need to extend the patch. So I told Bill I need at least 1,000 to 1,200 for the next year. So he graciously helped me do that. Yay, Bill. And this year, I told him I needed to double that to, now we are at 3,000 square feet. And so so that now that you have the plot and you have where you need full sun, you really do need to amend your soil and have your soil tested. I did not do that the first year at all. I just plopped them in the ground, gave it some fish emulsion and some Miracle-Gro, and then I just thought, they're just going to grow. I mean, because I'm not a gardener. Bill's the gardener. And so it was amazing that they did grow like they did. And I wasn't concerned about pests or anything. I just thought they would grow. Well, and by the end of that season, the first year, I saw a lot of white things flying around and, you know, green things on the leaves, and realized I had aphids and all this other stuff. But anyway, I got through that first season. The second season, I was I went on thebigpumpkins.com, learned a whole lot. Then I went to the pumpkin seminar in Elk Grove. Now, if you really want to... If you really want to get into pumpkins, you go to Elk Grove once a year to the seminar. And they give you some seeds. And, I mean, that first year were just those $2.50 seeds. Although I was grateful. But I really got some... yeah, this is an expensive hobby. But it's worth it. So, anyway, at the... pumpkin seminar, I got some really good seeds. They were over 1,000 pounds, and I planted a 1,600 pound seed, a 1,700 pound seed, and a 1,500 pound seed. I think it was two, another 1,700 pound. I had five in the patch that was 1,200 square feet, and that really was too much. We went on vacation, and I had a neighbor, a good friend of mine. She kind of watched out after my pumpkins, and they were fine. But a gopher did get one of them, and I actually, that was a gift, because when you grow giant pumpkins, five is too many. And so I ended up with four, and the one of them was just a bad seed, because they'd get to be like 40 pounds, and they'd go bad. So I ended up with the three. So with the amendment of the soil, I got another mentor, and he's from back east in Michigan, and I had the soil tested, and then another mentor in Torrance. I emailed that to him, and he emailed it to Cecil Weston in Michigan, and Cecil evaluated it and sent me back everything I needed to put in the soil. I put in over 400 pounds of amendments. And just Saturday for this year, he did the same thing, and we put in, I think with my little spreader, I put in about 450 pounds of amendments. Alfalfa, kelp, magnesium sulfate, Epsom salts, and then I put in muriate of potash. I put in a lot of stuff. So I'm really hoping that this soil is good. But that is, if you really want to grow competitively, if you just want to grow pumpkins, you know what? You know, but still have your soil tested just to see where you are, because my pH is really low. It came up in 1 year, but it's still low. So every year I'm hoping to finally get it to where it's balanced out. What's that?
What is your pH?
The pH that I started with was 5.5, and it went,
You can grow blueberries.
You know what, I do have some just berries on the property. They're not our berries, they come over. But the pH did get up to, I think it's only like 5.8, but the CEC and stuff like that, which I'm not into that, but my mentors are. That went up, and you need to have a higher CEC for the pumpkins to grow. Yes.
Where do you have your soil tested?
At Western Lab down in Modesto. Okay. And even
that's
those...
We send people. That's
yeah. Even the back east people and all, on bigpumpkins.com, they'll say go to... I know this is such a weird site. But I have to say, it's just the best site for growing giant pumpkins. And that's where they'll send people. And so there's blogs, and that tells you exactly what to do. Well, and then the next thing is getting the seed. You can get free seeds on bigpumpkin.com, and then I have free seeds for everybody tonight that came from my three pumpkins. When I got the seeds back from the casino, I asked which pumpkins they came from, and it's just a mixture. So you might get the 876 pounder or the 700 or the 600, but they're still good seeds. So once my pumpkins were hitting 400, I had asked somebody at the pumpkin seminar, what do you do with these pumpkins? Because I would also go to the Elk Grove Pumpkin Festival, and the largest pumpkins are there. I mean, they pay $7 a pound for the first place. Now, I would love to get first place.
$7 a pound.
$7 a pound.
Oh,
and
so
Joe,
you get money for doing this.
Yes. Josiah Brandt won that year, which was last year, and he got over $14,000.
Wow.
And when I was there last year, or this year, I asked Josiah, I said, do you sell your seeds? And he says, I have some in the truck and I will give you one. So he did.
2,000 pound pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Yeah.
It was 2,100 and 2,095.
I'm just wondering when the festival is.
The festival is in October. It's actually, I think it's about the second week in, second Saturday in October. No, the Half Moon Bay, because I'm looking at that one too. Aren't we, honey?
make your reservation now.
I do. They have that one the Monday after. The Elk Grove is on Saturday, and then Half Moon Bay is on Monday.
Can you take the pumpkin that won one place somewhere else?
No.
No,
that's why I'm planting more than one. Yeah, you can't. Once you win, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yes.
How do you transport them?
well, as the pumpkins were growing, Bill kept looking at them, and he said, how are you going to get these out of the patch? And I said, don't worry, I'm working on that. So I... my mentor back east, he showed me, and there's a YouTube of him. He builds tripods, and so he sent Bill a link, and Bill built the tripod, and then I bought the lifter and the straps, and then the casino came out with three guys, and when they got into the patch, they said, we need to call for more people. but it did work. It really did work. So that's how we get it into the, they had a big truck. And if I have one that goes to Elk Grove or Half Moon Bay, it'll fit in Bill's truck. But the tripod, I think, will work, don't you? Yes. They went to the casino because I ask about, you know, why. What do you do with these pumpkins? Because we can't just lift these pumpkins and put them in the backyard. So they said that the casinos will usually buy them. So I went out to the casino and talked to the man in hospitality, Ed Wickham. And he said he was interested. I sent him pictures first, emailed him at 400 pounds. And then by the end of the season, he contacted me and I told him how many pounds they were. And he said, yes, he wanted to buy them. He didn't even look at them. And I wanted to take it to Elk Grove, and I found out later I would have placed 11th, but I wanted them to be fresh for Ed, and I didn't want anything to happen to them, so they were really fresh for him when they came out to take it, because he also bought one from another, he buys them down in Salinas, and one of those pumpkins were already rotting, and
do they carve them or something?
They carved them. I have a picture of them. They carved all three of mine.
Neat.
Yeah. So when you get your seed for planting, because I really want to tell you how to grow them, you take a file and you file the end of it. Let me see. This is a seed from the general. And what you do is you don't file the point. You just file the side of it until about 1/16. Bill made these. And just until you see it like a sandwich. And what that does, and then you soak it. And this year I'm going to soak it in seaweed because I learned that at a seminar. I learned so much at this seminar. I wet the towel and I'm going to put it in there and soak it. It's 1 ounce of seaweed to a cup of water and soak that on the towel or the paper towels and then wrap it and then let it sit for 4 hours. And then when you plant it in, and I'm going to do a seed starting soil. That's what we did last year, and that kind of works. So I don't want to, you know, interfere with something that's working. And you plant it with the pointed side or the root side down or flat. There are some really high-powered guys that are winning all over the place that plant them side, on the flat side like this, and it works. But when you file it, it just makes them germinate faster. And that's the same with the seaweed. It makes it germinate faster. Cecil will soak it in 3% peroxide first, and then he will soak it in seaweed. And so, anyway, and that should germinate faster. And this year I'm starting them about April 15th. And then I will not put them out into the patch until after Mother's Day because of the frost. So, and we do it, they should be 85 to 90 degrees with a heating mat and have the lights above. And so we'll probably have, I'll probably have the lights on them at least 18 hours and then leave it off for about six. Yes?
What are you using for the lights?
They're just fluorescent lights, right? That's what we got.
Fluorescent lights.
Yeah, just fluorescent lights. And so anyway, then they germinate. And then when the first true leaf, you have the and then you get the first true leaf. And opposite of that first true leaf is where you want the main vine to grow. So you're going to put it in your patch with that first true leaf going the opposite of where you want the main vine. And you put it at a 30-degree angle so that that main vine will lay down. Because sometimes it's like a snake. And then I have to train it with bamboo sticks to go down.
A 30-degree angle to what?
To the ground. Yeah, it's going to go like this because it makes it easier for it to lay down. And so I've gone through so many bamboo sticks, I can't believe it, but to put them down. And then the secondary should you're going to grow it in a Christmas tree style. Once it starts growing, and then when the main vine hits, you don't want a pumpkin any less than 10 feet out. 10 feet's really the first time that you really want to pollinate a pumpkin. And then 15 feet is really optimal because then you have all that before the pumpkin feeding it. So you have, you know, maybe 7 to 8 vines on each side. You can pollinate on a side vine just in case all your main ones, you know, just don't make it. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things for me is determining, culling the pumpkins to just the one per plant. Because when I took off the last one before the one that I chose, I thought, oh, you better not go down. I mean, it is scary. But anyway, they did grow. I did have problems with one because if it grows stem down, it can grow over the vine and choke it. So I did some emailing on this one, and I had, you know, those swimming pool little long things? Well, I chopped those up and put it in between the vine and the pumpkin, and then, and I should have done this, that was just this year, you're supposed to have the pumpkin to where you can put imagine in your head, you're putting a stick through the pumpkin, and it's all level. So mine weren't level, but anyway, I just kept looking at this one, and so eventually I did cut it off after the pumpkin. That I really believe that was my fastest growing pumpkin, and that was Miss Molly, and oh, she was a beauty, but she ended up in third place. And I think it's because I cut it off. But I was going to either lose it or cut it off and give it some more slack in the vine. But I've learned more about this slack stuff, so hopefully this year it'll be better. Also, underneath the pumpkin, you need to... I bought mill fabric. That's $15 there. It's a good thing the casino bought. I'm still in the hole. Huh? Oh, Bill says it's a big hole. No, it's not. I'm getting out of it. Underneath the mill fabric, and I ordered that because it's how can I explain it? It's really slick. I'm not quite sure what they use it for, except for giant pumpkins. Everybody uses it for giant pumpkins. And then, they were 5-foot pieces when I got them, and I told Bill, I said, this is nuts. These are way too big for that. The pumpkin's never going to get that big. So I cut it up. That was a big mistake, because I had to keep adding. And so this year, I'm ordering 2 more pieces, because I now know how big they can get. And you should put 2 inches of sand, because with mill fabric, water goes through it. So it's not, you don't want it to rot on the bottom. That was another scary thing, because you don't know what's on the bottom until you lift them up with the pumpkin lifter. So I was real happy that when they lifted each one, they were all solid. The hard work really begins when I have to bury every vine at the node. And that's where I put mycorrhizal. And when I planted the plants, I did put in the hole mycorrhiza. I put in half a cup or all down on the bottom, and then I put in about a cup of worm castings, and then I put in garden soil. I didn't want to put in Miracle-Gro, because some of them have had trouble with that, because sometimes disease gets in. So anyway, I bury, that's what was taking my time with the giant pumpkins, is burying all the vines, and because you need to bury them at the node. And there's, at the node is one tertiary that comes off, a flower, and then one of those little squiggly things, I can't remember what that's called, tentacles or
tendrils.
That's what you're going to bury. You're going to bury that. And some people will, I'm going to be ahead of the game this year, because I'm going to bury them as it goes, because we took vacation last year, which we should never have done.
Don't ever take another.
But no, family comes first. So that's okay. But this year, I'm not going anywhere. You know. I can't, because they just grow so fast, and Gophers got the one, but this year...
you can go on vacation after the
year. You know what? I'm going to go on vacation afterwards, because...
Sorry.
Yeah. I told Bill I wanted for anniversary, Christmas, and birthday a Gopher hardware cloth, and so he did buy that for me. But he has to put it in, and so we're gonna we're putting it all the way around the 3,000 square feet, so, because that was my biggest problem with the gophers, to see a pumpkin go down when it's big, it's heartbreaking, and there's so many stories. So he is doing that. So we buried them. I buried all of those vines, and then I watched it grow and I measured it. As a pumpkin grows, even to get on the chart, it's got to be 99 pounds. But, which is, you know, I kept waiting for it to get 99 pounds. So, the first thing you do is you measure it around here. This is the circumference. And you measure it at the widest spot. And then, okay, I take that number. I write it down. And then I go from the stem or the blossom up and around. Right here to the ground, because it's just going to be the ground, because you can't get underneath. You add that, and then you take the same way this way and add that, and that's called over the top. Add all three, and that's called over the top measurement. And then when you get the over to the top measurement, I have, let's see what I did with the chart. This is the chart. So mine was 800, I think it was, the look on the thing, it was 876 pounds, I think it was. And so it was right around 337 inches over the top. So this is very helpful, because then you know at the height of the growing season is between day 25 and 38. They will put on anywhere from 30 to 50 pounds a day.
Wow.
Yeah. At day 20, mine, I was real concerned about my pumpkins in the beginning because I was getting cucumber beetles, and I'll tell you about the spraying and all. And my mentor says, get out there and spray them immediately. Because they weren't even in the ground maybe 2 weeks, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a failure. But once I got them under control, they just took off, and I just did what I was told. Yeah.
How much water?
Okay, that was coming up next. I was really worried about the that I'd overwater them because the way you can tell whether or not that you're overwatering is you take your hand into the ground and put it in a ball, and if it stays in the ball and there isn't water coming out of it and then you can crumble it, you're right on. If you've got water coming out of it, you've got too much water. But when they are big plants, it's up to 90 gallons a day per plant. Yeah, 90 gallons a day. I don't think I gave mine that. Yeah, I really don't think I did. But that's one of the hardest things is trying to measure how many gallons you're actually giving it through drip tape. And then the drip tape would get plugged up, and then I'd have to hand water, and then I did drenches with insecticides and pesticides, insecticides and then for fungicides. Now, I did do systemic insecticides and for fungicide because nobody was going to eat these. In fact, somebody said, oh, you're going to have a lot of pumpkin pies. And I said, no, I wouldn't touch these. Because, you know, when they are that big anyway, they're not gonna taste good.
Now, do you pollinate yourself?
Yes, that was the other thing. When they're ready to be pollinated, they go from green to yellow to orange. And I have to be out there every day to see when they're going to flower.
What goes from green to yellow to orange?
The flower. Yes. And both the male and the female must open the same day, and it must be you have to pollinate in the morning. You have only like a 4-hour window. And my first pollination this past year, I put a Dixie cup over the flower. I knew that they were going to open up. I do 3 males to a female. That's what bigpumpkins.com says, and my mentor. That's so I pick 3 because there's a lot of pollen in the male, and then the female, once it opens up, I look immediately in it to see how many lobes, because a really good pumpkin, large pumpkin, you should pollinate at least a 4-lober, and I had some, and I have a picture of the 5-lober that I pollinated. Some beautiful, just some, and they were good, because sometimes if the lobe has got a deformity, I won't bother with it.
What's the lobe?
The lobe is I have pictures.
Part
here.
Of the flower?
It's inside the female. The female. Okay, this is the lobe right here. You'll see this is the 5-lober that mine had. And this is the Christmas tree. This was the beginning of the plant. I'll lay these all out and you guys can see them. But this is, I put a Dixie cup on them the night before, and then I would rush out in the morning. Then I would take the male and take all of the, took them all off. And it was just the stem sticking up that I would go in and I would pollinate. But I tell you really have to be fast. Because if a bee gets in, your genetics are ruined. Because you don't know where that bee has come from. And then you'll know if it's really going to be a keeper is as this, if this gets pretty big within 10 days, you'll know. And it gets nice and shiny. They are so nice and shiny when they're good. Once they start getting dull, you know that it's not going to be good. If you have any other questions, otherwise, I've taken up too much time.
No, you are great. Thank you so much.
And here's some...